Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Digital Adele Hoops podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
Doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I mean, backstage, it was a mess 2 seconds ago. But I'm doing great now, man. We're here to talk NBA rookies only. And today, we're going to talk the Detroit Pistons rookies and the Golden State Warriors rookies. Now you're thinking to yourself, who the heck did Detroit even draft? We're here to tell you. So, we're going to start with the Detroit Pistons. I mean, before we get into the rookie, I just think they're going to be a much improved basketball team next season. I think Cade is going to have a monster year, Cade Cunningham. But what are your thoughts on the Detroit Pistons selecting one Chaz Lanier out of Tennessee?
I like Chaz a lot. I thought there was like he was kind of labeled as like a 3-point specialist, but I thought there was a little bit more to his game. Like I thought he was a decent, solid defender. It wasn't like great or outstanding, but I think he can hold up against NBA level competition. I thought there was some like mid-range, like pull-up jump shooting that I liked out of him. Like he would come around curls and whatnot when he was at Tennessee, and he was efficient in that area. He had a good release. He had a quick release. He was at least it seemed like from what I can recollect, he was always on balance when he shot, and he was an efficient three-point shooter when he was at Tennessee. Obviously, in summer league, it wasn't necessarily that he shot just 34% from deep, 34% from the floor. I expect there to be some improvement. Detroit is going to be someone they're going to need it. At least I feel like at some point throughout this next season, I'm with you. I think they're going to be, you know, a better team, even though they were already very good last year. But nevertheless, I do like Chaz a lot. I don't know if he starts. I've said this for a ton of players. I feel like I'm repeating myself. I don't think he starts the season in the rotation. But he's just like a capable three-point shooter. I think there's some multi-level scoring pop there. He doesn't really do much else. He's not super disruptive defensively, but I think he can hold up long-term at the NBA level. Maybe not in the short term, but I think in the long term, he's got like a stocky build. Like he's strong. He's not someone who's going to get pushed off their spot super easily. Like he already has like an NBA-ish level body already, and I think he'll continue to develop. I thought he was solid instinctually,
right?
At Tennessee, and I think that's something that will carry over. Even though he's not super disruptive, I think he kind of makes up for it in that way. But right now, he's going to be just looking to knock down as many open threes as he can, and I feel like he was more hit and miss during summer league than I would have liked to have seen from him.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that stood out to me during the evaluation process for Chaz Lanier was the fact that he had an NBA-ready body already. And whenever you're a senior, I mean, that's what you expect out of guys that have had, you know, that many years removed out of high school where they can really work on their game and focus on their game and play basketball a lot more. I mean, it's college. You still got to somewhat go to class as an athlete, but you know, these guys kind of focus on the game a lot more than they did in high school. But the NBA level body, the, you know, soft feathery touch from the outside, the ability to, you know, one dribble pull up and get into his jump shot, whether it be from the 3-point line, whether it be from the mid range. Like you said, there's not a lot of ball handling chops there, not a lot facilitating wise, and there's not a lot defensively. One fun fact. Chaz Lear went 37th overall in the second round, right? I had him 38th on my big board.
There you
almost
go.
Had it pegged.
I want to say I had him in like the 30 to 35 range.
Yeah, our boards, from what I can remember, were very similar. Like, not exact, but they were actually very, it actually ended up being very similar.
I was just going to say, yeah, most of it was like we were within a range for most of the players. And then there were some discrepancies. Like, I had Kalkbrenner a lot higher than you did. I think you had Ulbrich.
The infamous Kalkbrenner. That's right.
So, like, there was some variance, you know. I mean, there's going to be inevitable variance, especially once you get to the latter half of the first round and into the second.
Absolutely.
I want to say ours was pretty close.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And you want to talk about variance. The Golden State Warriors, I had Alex Tahui, 27th on my big board. 27th. Now, that's the only pick Detroit has, so we're moving. This is going to be a quick show rolling through these prospects.
we're rolling.
But Alex Tahui, I actually really liked Alex Tahui. I scouted him probably 5 to 7 games, and I liked what I saw. And then he went to the NBA Combine, and I really liked what I saw. Like, he was able to handle, he was able to knock down shots, he was able to defend, rebound. He did a little bit of everything at the NBA Combine against those guys who all had a lot more publicity than he did coming into this process. And anytime I can throw a Lachlan Ulbrich in there, it's just like Lachlan caught my eye, and it really solidified my evaluation that he belonged in those conversations. And then watching him in Summer League, I liked what he did in Summer League. It wasn't super efficient or anything eye-popping or anything like that. But you could see for where he was drafted, Alex Tahui was performing better than people expected. And by people, I'm talking about fans. I'm talking about, you know, your what we do, analysts. He performed better than what a lot of people thought. He got drafted 52nd and went to the Warriors, but I think he's a much better player than that. Like I said, I had him 27th. Does that mean next season he's going to step in and be this great player? No. It's going to take some time. He's going to need to develop. He's a little stiff. He's going to have to work on his flexibility, and he's going to have to get much stronger. And that's his core strength. He doesn't have to look like Hercules, but he's going to have to get that core strength better. But what were your thoughts on Alex Tahui?
I was underwhelmed in summer.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there was some struggles, and I was going to mention, like, he just needs to get stronger. He needs to be more physical. Like, I do like what I saw in the combine. And then the pre-draft, like, the little tape that I saw of him, I did like him. But, like, it was one of those things where I just thought he was a little bit overwhelmed relative to the competition. And I do think there is something there long-term.
Right.
I'm not going to pinpoint his ceiling right now.
Right.
I think that'd be a little bit unfair for him. But, like, I want him to be more efficient. I do think he's kind of like he's not great at one specific thing, but he's good in a lot of different things.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of what he will be. That's going to be his peak. Is, like, I don't think he's outstanding in one specific skill, but I think he's going to need to improve and get stronger so he's able to do those kinds of things, like rebound, like defend, ball handle a little bit, shoot a little bit. Like, he was very inefficient during summer.
Super inefficient.
So if you're willing to read the percentages, I'm not.
They were like in the 20s. It was like 28%, 20 something odd.
It was really bad. And so, again, I'm not going to say that his six game samples, that's going to be indicative of his career or anything like that. Right. I think he's a much better player than what those numbers indicated.
And they made him like a focal. Like he wasn't even,
yeah,
he wasn't like fitting a role on that summer league team. They were like feeding him and letting him handle and reading PNRs. Like, but that's a sign the organization thinks there's more there and they want to see what you can do right away. So I really like that. That Golden
and I
State
trust their developmental those, staff.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. One of the best in the business. Yeah.
And I know, like, depending on who you ask, people think highly. Some people may not think as highly as of their developmental staff as others may. Right. I think they're a solid developmental organization. At least I think Kerr has proved that. But it's just, I think for him, it's going to take time at 21.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not like he's a super old prospect or anything. He's a young guy. He's got an NBA frame, 6'8", 223 pounds. You know, he rebounds a little bit. He had like 3.4 rebounds. So even though his offense wasn't going the way you'd want, he was still finding ways to contribute. He averaged 1.4 steals per game as well. So he was finding a way to impact the game even whenever a little bit out of NBA shape. Like he wasn't in, I mean, he was in shape, but he wasn't in NBA shape. There's a difference. And so I think there's a lot more to his game, but it's just going to take some time and people are going to need to have a little patience with him. Is that fair?
Yeah. He'll be in Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz.
And
you know, it's funny about that.
What?
Because, you know, Podjewski, where'd he go to school? Santa Clara.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Anyway,
did he ever play in Santa Clara?
I don't know. That's a great question.
And I say that like the NBA level.
I know what you mean. Right. Yeah. I don't know. That's actually a good question. And that would have been a good fun fact for Warriors Nation Radio. Yeah, I have no clue. We'll get back to you on that, people. Matt will. All right, but there's another draft pick that the Golden State Warriors had. And I know this is thrilling radio for everybody that listens to the podcast on iHeart, Spotify, everywhere podcasts are found, and all the good folks on YouTube. So don't forget to like and subscribe. This is thrilling stuff during the offseason, I know. We're going to talk Will Richard out of the University of Florida, the Gators, the world champions of college basketball. Actually, it's just national champions. They don't play the world.
Is that just off topic? Like whenever you hear someone like the NBA champions be like the world champions, are you like completely?
It does
out?
Annoy me. It annoys it me. It does. Yeah. Because they're not world champions. Although it's the best basketball league. It's the best basketball league in the world. So I guess you could say they're world champions.
That's where I'm at.
But like college basketball, it's a national championship. It's not a world.
Okay.
Change.
Yeah. No, I get that. I was more so asking from like a pro sports. Cause I remember that was a big topic
from pro sports. It's a little annoying, but at the same time, because it's the best league.
Yeah.
I guess you can, it's not as egregious, but at the same time.
Yeah. Not like, technical.
Right. Not technically. Like you're not the world champion. If you've only fought in America, for example, like,
yeah.
My Brazilian jiu-jitsu in Texas. I'm the world champion. You've only fought in Texas. Like, have you fought any other people around the world? Maybe they're better. Who knows? Anyway.
By the way, I just looked up. Brandon Podjemski has played one whole G League game in his career.
Whoa! He went back to college. He's like Van Wilder.
I don't know if it was on the road or at home, but in his rookie season, he played one whole game. He had 24 points, 7 rebounds, shot 10 of 18 from the floor, 3 of 5 from deep. He had 4 assists, no steals, no blocks, and 2 turnovers in 31 minutes.
They play no defense in the G League. That is apparent.
Good numbers, though.
Good numbers. Josh Christopher agrees.
Oh, I forgot. 1 of 1 from the free throw line.
Wow. Not getting to the free throw line in the G League. Interesting.
He's 100% from the free throw
line. 100%. The greatest to ever do it. He's the GOAT. How do you feel about the multiple GOATs?
Huh?
How do you feel about the multiple GOAT?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC supply, in-app only.
Conversation. Well, this is my go. How do you feel about
it? I mean, I don't have really any take on it. If I'm being
you have no honest. Take.
No, okay. I mean, when we debate greatest of all time, it is subjective. Yeah. But like, I try to keep it in perspective.
There's only one right answer, Matt Hanifin.
No, there's not.
It's Michael Jordan. That's it. The end. Period.
Oh, for the NBA, maybe I have Jordan as my.
No, I agree. It's a nuanced conversation, like, and especially across different sports, like football, for example.
Correct.
There's so many different things that need to happen to make a football team successful. So you're like,
yeah,
who's the greatest football player of all time? It could be Barry Sanders because he literally had no passing game, no quarterback, and no offense, Charlie Batch, you were good. I like you. Go Steelers. But he didn't have anything really around him, and he was the greatest running back of all time, 2,000 yards every time. He could be the greatest. Jerry Rice, they say, well, Jerry Rice is the greatest. But he also had, like, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time throwing to him.
Yeah.
And, in an innovative offense that, like, nobody was running at the time. So, like, football is super subjective. Basketball, for me, and maybe it's because I'm so invested and emotionally close to it, it doesn't really even seem like an argument. Now, that's just...
And you watched Jordan. I didn't.
Dude, but the thing is, and this is where people get on my last nerve, is not only did I watch Jordan,
I mean, I
was a humongous LeBron fan, and I was rooting for that kid to be the successor of Michael Jordan. Like, I was actively rooting for him. And I still think he's one of the greatest players of all time. I'm not saying that. I'm not, like, bashing LeBron.
Right.
But he's just not the GOAT. He's just not. But anyway... Will Richard.
Yeah, Will Richard. Going from LeBron James to Will Richard.
That's right. Definitively, I can tell you Will Richard is not the GOAT. At this moment, who knows?
Will Richard has more national championships than LeBron, though. So
he does.
Keep in perspective.
He does, and you should take that into the GOAT conversation next time you talk to your friends about it. Will Richard has more national championships than LeBron James. In college. Man, anyway, so you're about to get this old man down the memory lane when LeBron had his first 25-7 and like 7 game, which was the first game he ever played. And I was like, oh my God, this dude, he's going to be great. But one of the things that makes people great, you have to keep adding to your game every single year, every single summer. Mm-hmm. Eventually he got there and started doing that, right? Like, eventually he did. But there's still holes in his game, man, people don't talk about. Like, LeBron's handle for his size is excellent. It's a great handle. Is it as good as it could be? No. Like, LeBron doesn't really have a move per se. You're like, oh, that's LeBron's move. He doesn't have one.
What about like that dribble pull-up three-pointer where he like makes the jab step?
Listen,
like, looks at the ball.
You want to talk about one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of in my life is people using that as a move. I'm not calling him dumb. If it makes him focus more doing that and he's comfortable, it's cool. But to call that a move, he's just 6'8".
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's also like never missed when he's done that. Like, it feels like every single time.
Has someone tracked that? He's never missed when he's done it.
It feels like 100 for 100.
All right. He's 100 for 100. That's right. It's his anime move.
Yeah.
It's over when he does that. That's right. No. I mean, I could talk about this every segment. I could talk about the nuances of what makes Michael Jordan the GOAT over LeBron James. Like, we've watched a couple of games on playback of Michael Jordan in his older games. And you just look at the precision of what he does and you look up and you're like, wait, how does he have 25 points already? Like, it wasn't even anything spectacular. He's just, he was so technically sound, but he also was spectacular. But he was so technically sound, he would just mid-range you to death. He would blow by you. He'd get steals and dunks and free throws and layups. And you're like, holy crap, he's got 50 points in a playoff game. It didn't even feel like it. He was getting double and triple teamed the whole game. But anyway.
Freak athlete.
Oh, my God. One of crazy, crazy. It's like Barry Sanders. You'll never see an athlete change directions with multiple parts of his body the way Barry Sanders did. Barry Sanders, half his body would be doing one thing and the other half would be doing another. And people were like, whoa, like flying out of the screen.
I know we're completely off topic, and I promise to the audience we'll get back to Will Richard in a moment.
Who?
I find it. I don't know if you've seen the Football Life of Barry Sanders, but it's always very funny to me how his dad was like, he's like the third greatest running back. Jim Brown's still better than this.
Oh my God, dude, it's great.
It's very funny. His dad's like, no, Jim Brown's still better. Like,
so from the older people that I looked up to growing up, they told me the same thing. And what they said was, right. Not only was he the fastest person on the field, he was the strongest human being they've ever seen. Like
Jim or Barry?
Jim Brown. Like there'd be five people hanging on him and he's still running full speed down the field as they like fall off him like bugs off your car. Like,
yeah,
they talk about Jim Brown. Like, yeah. Like I talk about Michael Jordan. So like they could be right. Michael Jordan tape is like a little blurry. Jim Brown tape is like black and white and there hardly is any. Like I can't right. get an eval. I can't get an eval on Jim Brown.
No, but just find that very funny how his dad was just like, because usually, you know, you hear your dad talk about
pump
you
up
in
your
a way
son.
And it's just like, oh yeah, he's the greatest. He's that. This
right.
Jim Brown's dad is, or not Jim Brown's dad. Barry Sanders' dad is just like, nope. I'm staying firm. Jim Brown is the greatest. He's the third greatest running back ever. Right.
But dad, I have no team. My wide receivers are like janitors. What do you mean?
I also find it funny, if I remember that correctly, I think his dad was also a diehard Oklahoma fan. Anyway.
Back to Will Richard.
Will Richard, if you're listening to this.
We apologize.
I hope you know we mentioned you and Jim Brown and Michael Jordan.
It's great company.
And all in the same podcast.
It's great company. I'm going to tweet that out after we're done.
And Barry Sanders and
Will Richard, we hold you in high regard. You were talked amongst Jim Brown, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, and Barry Sanders.
Yeah, even though you were drafted 56th.
Back to Will Richard. I mean, this is very anticlimactic for the audience. We're now turning back to Will Richard. Maybe someone tuned in. They're a big Gator fan, a big Warriors fan. They're excited about Will Richard.
Big Matt Cleveland Browns, Detroit Lions.
That's right. That's right. I mean, modern day Cleveland Browns, trash.
Yeah.
Will Richard, go.
He was so good in that national championship game.
He was
like, I can't get that out of my head whenever I like when I was, you know, doing the evals pre-draft and whatnot. Like, he was excellent in that.
Right.
Now he had what, 18 points? He was like 4 of 6, 4 of 7 from 3-point range. He was excellent in that game. I thought he was good in summer league too, especially relative, again, where we talked about like relative to his draft position. I know the majority of these guys who were in summer league were undrafted or their holdovers from their previous seasons with that same organization or different organization. But I thought he was good in summer league, even though he didn't shoot the ball well. He's more so like a 3-and-D kind of a player, but he was also someone who has an NBA ready body. And he was someone who, like, kind of similar to Chaz, like, I thought there was some, like, he was solid defensively when he was at Florida. And I thought he was pretty disruptive during summer league. He's more of like a streaky shooter though.
Right.
At least that's from what I can recall from him in college. I think his release is fine. But he's more of like a streaky shooter-ish type player. Again, he's another guy who just doesn't do a whole lot else outside of being like a strictly like 3-and-D ready prospect. I thought he was good instinctually at Florida. Like he's got very good instincts, lateral, like he's got good lateral mobility.
Right.
He's pretty disruptive, like good coordination, pretty disruptive with his hands. But other than that, like he's not really that good of a rebounder. He's not someone who's going to, you're going to rely on to have ball handling duties or anything like that, or at least right away at the NBA level. So that's kind of going to be his role in Golden State when he's with Golden State. But I think there's something where like he can be like a solid role player long term.
Yeah, I think he can fit a role, and that's going to be the key. And he's going to have to improve his 3-point shooting because it's not nearly consistent enough. Like, that's
yeah, it's
the problem.
Not. He was 20%, 21% during summer league.
Yeah, he's 22.2%.
Yeah, his last year at Florida, he was 36%. But that was kind of up and down throughout his college career. He started his career at Belmont, played 3 years at Florida. He was kind of up and down in the mid 30s there. Shot 36%, 35.5% for his career, on decent volume, 5 attempts per game.
Absolutely.
But he's going to need to be more consistent, to your point.
He does, and because he's only 6'4", 206, now 6'4 is not small, but when you're in that like pace and space type system that they run in Golden State, he's going to have to really be able to knock down those perimeter shots to keep the floor spaced, because he's not going to be an on-ball creator type. You know, that's just not going to be what he does. Even though, like you said, he went 4-for-4 in a national championship game, so it does show he comes up clutch in big moments. He's just going to have to definitely be more consistent. I like his quickness. I like how he reads passing lanes. I like how he navigates screens. If he can really lean into that defense as well, he can find a role that way. But it's looking like he's going to Santa Clara as well. But really, that's it, Matt. Tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work, man.
One thing I want to add on the Golden State thing.
Yeah.
They only have 9 players on roster right now.
Which is weird.
Yeah,
really weird.
And a lot of it is the Jonathan Kuminga. Like, they're still waiting, whether it's a sign and trade, whether he comes back.
Are you saying he comes to the Miami Heat? Jonathan Kuminga to the Miami Heat?
No.
Matt? No, I'm just kidding.
And, like, there's plenty of guys like Horford, like D'Anthony Melton, like Gary Payton, who they're waiting to sign once that gets resolved. So I actually do wonder if any of these guys, like, get run. At some point, just because how thin they're, but obviously, you know, it's not gonna last forever. I think there's gonna be players that they bring in that are gonna just play more,
right,
than these guys, obviously, at least at the start of the season. Anyway, you can find me at NPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find me at HotHoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com, and I'm doing stuff for the Orlando Magic on SI.
So, congratulations, Matt Hanifin.
Yeah, and then at least I'll be doing more Magic content, you know, during the season and whatnot, as well as playback.tv/5RSN, where we're gonna watch the Miami Heat probably be mediocre again. And you can find me at playback.tv/digital Adele Hoops
right here, right now. And that's where you can find me. I'm Digital Adele anywhere on social media under that moniker, which also happens to be my name, not the digital part. And then on Instagram, there's a little underscore in the middle, digital_Adele. And that's our show for today. I hope you guys like it. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Listen on the podcast networks. We'll try to be better once the season starts. Appreciate you sticking with us as we go all around the Mulberry Bush talking about Barry Sanders and the Goats. We'll see you next time.
Hey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.